for those needs from non-marketing users of Whois information. That's the first milestone. The second one is to review general approaches to prevent automated electronic data mining and to ensure that the requirements for access are met. But the caveat on that one is that we're not really looking at the same things that the IETF is looking at. So just to review the automated, the general approaches that are out there now and maybe some suggested ones, but not necessarily from a technical perspective. And then the third one is to determine whether any changes are needed in the contracts to allow the approaches that we come up with, I guess, in the second milestone. So that being said, in looking at when I first sent out the note, the PDP process is supposed to last a total of 35 days as far as from the task force to getting to a final report. In looking at Task Force 2 and 3's timeline, I think both of them have the timeline set for a preliminary report in Rome, which I think is even that's aggressive, but I think that's much more doable than having a final report in 35 days. So I want to throw it out there and see what you guys feel. I mean, Glenn, has anyone gotten back? Have you heard any discussion by Barbara as to whether that's Roma for a preliminary report is too late? Is that just a general approach that others are following?
I think that seems to be a general process that is being followed. That there will be a preliminary report in Rome.
Okay. Well, I guess since there's no one from the council here to kind of speak against that, I guess what we'll... Marilyn, good.
It's Marilyn. I dialed in a couple of minutes ago. I just didn't want to interrupt you. I'm not intending to speak unless you want me to respond to questions.
If you don't mind, I just have a question as far as the council, whether they have discussed whether, because as you know, the PDP is supposed to last a total of 35 days, but the way the other task forces have been structured is that they are delivering a preliminary report in Rome, which I think is a good option, is a good time frame. Has there been any discussion about that being too long?
Council is going to meet Thursday morning, my time, so that'll be our first chance to discuss it. The other council members who are on the other task forces that I am aware of, any opinions that have been expressed so far, are all along the lines of the PDP seems to have been written for an extremely narrow task and did not take into account data gathering or analysis needs, and so therefore the process we're in now does not seem a complete fit. And so I believe council will take up the question of what are the needed extensions, and I would presume there would be some support for extensions.
Okay. Well, I think then let's operate under the assumption that that the council will approve a preliminary report date of that they'll allow us to do a preliminary report in Rome, and we'll set a time schedule according to that. And if that changes, I'm sure Marilyn, you could, or someone from the council could notify us.
Sure. Jeff, this is David Ferris. I was wondering, can we actually send a note to the council telling them that we think it's important to extend the timeline to Rome? I mean, this is, I think, going to be important so that we can prepare a meaningful report and not something cursory and a quick response.
Right. I can send a note to Glenn and ask her to distribute it to the council members.
Jeff, I think that it's Marilyn. I think that would be an excellent idea coming from the task force itself.
Okay. Well, I will draft a note after this meeting with our timeline that we come up with, and then asking the council, explaining why we think that this is a reasonable approach, and I'll send it to Glenn, and then hopefully Glenn can forward it on to the council.
Thank you.
Okay. So now let's dig into the actual substance. One of the first things that we need is to have someone, preferably Barbara, I guess, have someone that I can basically gather all the resources, all the workshop materials, basically, and all the previous constituency statements. to kind of assemble that and have that distributed to the entire task force for Milestone 1. I looked at Task Force 2, and what they did is they gave ICANN about a week to assemble this. Not having anyone from ICANN here, you know, I would just propose doing the same thing, giving them a week to gather all the material and to send that out to the group. Again, this is only a part of the Milestone 1 information. Does anyone think a week is too short?
It's Marilyn again. I'm just going to, it's maybe not, but doesn't it depend on when the week breaks because of the holiday?
Yeah, after a week it starts to get into that. So let's, Glenn, if we could just have it in the minutes, we'll send out, we'll say a week, and then if Barbara wants to come back and say it's not enough time because of the holidays, then...
All right, so you're going to make a week from today, which will take you to into the holidays.
A week from today, 16th, so it'll be the 23rd, just before.
All right, and that is to collect the workshop material and previous constituency statements.
Right, and then send that out to the group.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then, that's Milestone 1. That's all it says is really to collect the stated needs and justification for those needs. I think implicit in that is going to be drafting, it's basically analyzing that data, too, so that we can come up with, you know, based on the information, what those needs and justifications are. So if we gave, I'm trying to work backwards here from, actually maybe we should do that. If we have a preliminary report in Rome, which is March 2nd, I believe is the first date. So maybe March 1st would be the preliminary report. The steps before that would be, you know, obviously we want start drafting. We need the constituency statements in before that, and we need to incorporate those constituency statements into the report as well.
We have January and February. Those are the only 2 months we have.
Right. And what I'm looking at, too, is I'm just trying to go to some of the minutes that the task force, too, and see what they did on this one. But what I think is, I would say we probably need a month between when we get the constituency statements and when drafting our preliminary report. And so I would set a February 1 date for getting constituency statements. Or do you guys think it's more appropriate to split the issues up into the milestones and get constituency statements on each individual issue?
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I thought.
There are three other task forces, and they all have three or four tasks within them, right?
Yeah.
And it's the holidays.
Yes. Okay, so then what I would suggest then is having a February 1 date for constituency statements on each of the issues.
I'm still a little bit confused. I don't know why. Maybe it was the World Summit just kind of addled my brains. But our constituency has been reviewing these statements of work as they were being constructed, and then there was a comment period, right? A public comment period on them?
Yeah, I think there was a comment period on the framing of the terms of reference and whether those were the right issues to be looking at. This is really for substance on the three milestones that we have. One, to collect the needs and justifications for non-marketing uses of who is information, or contact information, not necessarily who is, but contact information. Then two is to review the general approaches that are out there to prevent automated electronic data mining and to ensure that the requirements for access are met, including accessibility requirements for those that may, for example, be visually impaired. And then the third one is to determine whether any changes are required in the contracts to implement any of those approaches that we come up with in Milestone 2. So basically the constituencies are going to respond to what they perceive as are the needs outside of marketing uses of contact information. So, you know, obviously there may be consumer interests as to have this data, consumer protection, there's law enforcement. And one of the tasks that we're going to get to next is to identify what groups we think are out there and how to do outreach to find other groups that we may not be thinking of. And then trying to find ways to get to them and get statements from them as well. So does that answer your question, Milton?
Yeah, I think so. We're only asking specifically for the input on how the milestones should be collected, or whether there should be other milestones we're collecting data about, or what?
No. The input we're asking the constituencies are to give us, if you believe there are needs, the substance. Do you believe there are needs and justifications for non-marketing uses of contact information? If you do believe that there are, your constituency does, then what are those needs and what are the justifications for having access to that kind of information?
Okay, yeah. So I can sort of predict in advance what one of the main streams of response from our constituency will be, and that will be that you're only asking for needs to use the data. You're not asking for limits.
I think the limits are other. Well, it depends what you mean by limits. Limits as far as, you know, whether there's too much data being collected and whether we should limit the amount of data, that's being addressed by another task force. If you're talking about limits as to prevent, you know, data mining, well, that's our number two milestone. So we have to operate in this task force under the assumption that whatever the other task force comes out with as far as what data should be and who is,
mm-hmm.
And that's really outside of our jurisdiction, then what are ways... You know, number one is, you know, should there be groups of people that have access to this information? And if there should be, then why?
I guess what I'm asking is, you know, is it just somebody says, you know, I really like looking up when domain names expire because I like to sort of collect domain names. I have a domain name collection. Now, do we consider that a need that we forward, or... You know, are we just anything we get, we just throw into a list, or are we saying some judgment as to what needs, what is really needed, what is really justified?
That is actually a very good question. I think from the way it's framed, the milestones are specifically framed that all our role really here is to collect all of the needs and the justifications that are provided to us, putting those into a report. And I think it's more for the council. I mean, certainly the task force can, I think, make recommendations in our report as to what we believe are legitimate and what isn't. Ultimately, it's the council that could either choose to disregard, either accept that recommendation or disregard it. But the number one...
Well, I think I could suggest something here is that I would like to approach it this way. I would like to see a list of these needs and a list of the justifications associated with them. And then when we make a policy about restricting these data mining techniques, we simply identify the impact on these needs without any value judgments as to, you know, whether those needs are ones we agree with or not.
Okay. Anybody else with thoughts on that?
Sure. This is Wendy from the ALAC. And I would also say that it is hard to... here to come up with a list of needs without also having some place for input on places that we think there's too much data availability and that some people might think that what another need was an improper use of data.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of Milton's approach of
a list with two columns. One column is the need, and one column is almost like a statement of our opinion on the legitimacy of the need.
Well, it'll probably be three columns. One is the need, and the perceived justification, or the justification that's provided to us. and then a third is a valuation judgment. Milton actually prefers us not to make a value judgment on it, but I think we could probably table that issue.
I just meant to ask the constituencies at the same time that they are identifying their own needs, not as a response format, but identify your needs, identify places you feel there's too much data available.
Yeah, and I think that would be appropriate for constituencies in their statements to make clear.
Can we leave that third column issue open?
Yes, yes. I want to leave that third column issue open till after we collect, at least begin collecting some of these. Now, Barbara is going to be a big help to us, I think, in helping us collect the needs, because a lot of it has already been expressed. I mean, you just have to look at the Montreal workshop and Tunisia discussions to see, groups that we'll talk about a little bit later, but to see that these groups have already expressed in their presentations the need and for this information. So I think that's what we should do then with, so the deliverable out of number one is first getting within a week all of the information, and then two, then the second part B of that deliverable is to develop this list, this chart, if you will. So if we go from the 23rd, I don't really want to get into too much of the holiday season, but do we think that maybe by the 15th of January that we can have this chart? Without asking for volunteers at this point, do we think that that's a workable, assuming we have all the data by the 23rd? Although, actually, to come to think about it, we do want to collect data that's not only from these. So you know what? Let me put that one aside for right now. Talk about the groups that we want to seek, that people have thought of, that we should seek opinions from before we say the 15th. We have opinions from law enforcement already from the workshops, but does anybody on this task force believe that there are groups that we should be contacting aside from either aside from the law enforcement people that have already made presentations or from law enforcement that have not been contacted?
Yes. I believe that we would want to have consumer groups on there as opposed to the Federal Trade Commission, which says it is representing consumers, that we might want to ask, I know people at the Consumers Union, and they are connected to the Transatlantic Consumer Dialogue, which might weigh in on the question of consumer use or needs for who is data.
Okay. And you personally know people over there that...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why don't... I think that's a great group.
And these would be groups who would have needs.
Right. These are groups that we can identify for non-marketing needs of who is information. So we have, obviously the law enforcement that have already testified. There's the FTC, DOJ. What about international law enforcement? Have we heard, thinking back to the workshops, do we have that material? Does anybody recall off the top of their head?
Jeff, it's Marilyn. We, in all of our previous, outreaches to law enforcement, et cetera, there is an FTC workshop that there's a record of that you might want to also get, but I do not recall there ever being like Interpol or Customs involved in any of the or their counterparts. It's all been CSIP and law enforcement in a specific country.
Well, I think one thing that would help us is that's a good Marilyn, do you think you can find that FTC document and send that around?
Yeah.
Well, then obviously is the question of how do we outreach to international organizations. Obviously WIPO has been on record. They're not really law enforcement. But is there any, does anyone have any contacts? Does anyone know of groups that we could, or people within ICANN that we could, that could help us with this?
I have contacts at WIPO. David, you probably have contacts at OECD.
Yeah, OECD, and I know ICES, I could probably get some from Interpol if we deem that appropriate.
I think it is. I mean, I think, you know, law enforcement certainly is one of the groups that's called out in the terms of reference. So I think that that certainly would be an appropriate group. And I think the OECD with the consumer groups, yeah, I think they already have an opinion out there. And if you can forward, if someone can forward that, OECD actually came out with two opinions, one on privacy and one on who is data, I don't know if it's accuracy, but certainly need for the data.
Yeah, I can get that.
Okay, so David, you can forward that to the group?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's other groups that use the who is, you know, just speaking as a registrar, they... You know, we sell our who is in bulk form to a number of different entities, maybe, I don't know, less than 10. And I assume they have a need for it, so maybe we could ask them to find out what their need is.
Would you say that theirs would be classified as a non-marketing need?
Yes, I would.
Okay, then yes, absolutely. So
like Thompson & Thompson, they buy our who is. I don't
sure.
know exactly what they're using it for, but I'm sure they have some need that's not a marketing thing.
Okay. Who was that? I'm sorry.
Yep.
That was Paul Stahura.
No. But you did you announce who it was sold to?
Thompson & Thompson, I believe, bought it.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that again? There were two people talking.
I believe Thompson & Thompson is one
okay,
of the people
thanks.
Who have bought or who is.
Right. Yeah. They're an IP. They're a search firm. They help.
Right.
You know, basically, they're a company that you know most people do trademark searches before they register a trademark. And Thompson & Thompson is company that does those searches and also does monitoring, and I think that's good. And in fact, I think. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
No, I just want to jump into the queue whenever.
Oh, sure. Okay. Let me just finish this. So basically, intellectual property groups, and so Thompson & Thompson, WIPO's got opinions out there already.
There's other companies that buy it that you know I don't, you know I could presume what they're using it for. But for example, Snap Names has a product. Where they, you could go to their site, and if you buy this thing, if your who is information changes, they notify you. So they have access to our who is, and they check it all the time.
Right, and do they also do reports? At least they used to come out with a publication on reports. I don't know if they do that just from the zone.
Yeah,
file.
That's true. They do have reports. I don't know if they use the who is information, but there's other companies like Name Intelligence that does stuff with who is.
Okay, so we've identified from the IP side and from domain name monitoring, we got Thompson & Thompson, WIPO, Snap Names, Name Intelligence. And Wendy, I'll get to you. I just want to finish out the IP type. So. David, any other groups that you can think of? Either David, actually, because both Davids are IP attorneys.
Well, I mean, I think the IP constituency will have some good input on it and through their membership.
Okay, yeah, and if, you know, one of the things I'd like to do is identify the groups even before we get the constituency statements. So if you could send a note around to the IP constituency on this very narrow issue. Just identify what groups, because ultimately what we want to do is then send a notice to these groups asking them for their opinion.
Who's your IP representative, Jeff?
I think it's David, right? I'm sorry, no, it's...
I'm on the call, John Wolf.
John,
UK,
I'm sorry.
And Jeremy Banks from IFPI, but I guess he's not on the call. Well, I have one question. You used the phrase non-marketing. Entities. Is that distinguished from non-commercial?
No. I mean, yes, it is distinguished, yeah. Because, for example, a for-profit entity could be using for a non-marketing purpose. For example, Thompson & Thompson is not, is a commercial entity, but, you know, some would argue that that's not really a marketing use of the data. Some would argue it is. So, you know, the terms of reference doesn't really have any guidance on that. So it's probably best if we think there's a gray line just to collect the information anyway.
Yeah, right off the top, I can think of a handful of vendors who are providing services for enforcement purposes to the IP copyright holders.
Okay.
These are vendors that we use one that goes out and crawls the internet looking for pirated copies of software, for example, and they will do, although I don't know that they do a lot of it, they will do Whois lookups on domain names. So there's an example. I would assume that sort of an entity falls into your definition.
Yeah, actually, and why don't we set a deliverable date if we can, and then I want to get to Wendy too. Why don't we give everyone a week to try to just brainstorm on these groups? So the same thing by the 23rd, if we could collect from each of the people on this task force just their brainstorming ideas of these actual groups so we can have them all written down.
Hang on, let me run and get it.
So I think, John, that would help us if you could, you know, get us that list. And Paul, if you can get us the list from the registrars of companies that you would come up with. Like, I know, Mark Monitor also, I think, uses those.
That's true.
And so I think we have some law enforcement ones, but if anyone can brainstorm on other groups, that's great. Wendy.
Sure. Other groups that I, and other kinds of uses that I can think of coming from the other direction, academic researchers, people studying network interactions and the connectedness of internet content, and librarians and archivists trying to determine ownership of online content. And often those are groups that can't necessarily afford the services of the Thompson & Thompson, but do make sort of chunks of queries to the Whois data.
Right. And I think, Ben Edelman and the Berkman Center have come out with a number of studies. Whether we agree with the results or not, they certainly use Whois data for some of their results. Wendy, do you know anyone over at the Berkman Center?
What?
Do you know anyone over in the academic community or in the Berkman
Center? I know a few people at the Berkman Center.
Okay.
Can you
reach out to them and others? And I obviously, Milton, you know some people in the academic.
and the other point I would make is people trying to verify the claims made by IP owners.
I need to go to the
We offer a chilling effect when we get a complaint that somebody has copied a website or a trademark that's found online. We'll go look at the Whois of the complainant to figure out, to look at least one indication of Whois making that complaint.
Yeah, I think when we get into IP monitoring, it's really on both sides. It's not just, you know, it's as you said, it's not just for going after people, but it's also for responding.
Right, so it's important to be aware that there can be an imbalance between people's abilities on both sides of that divide. The big IP holders aren't much inconvenienced necessarily by having to go to through Thompson & Thompson or Mark Monitor, and the person who's the recipient of a single complaint might have a much more difficult time going that route.
Okay, so what if we, how does everyone feel about setting a week for just a brainstorming list of these groups that either Glenn or Barbara or one of us could, after everyone submits it after a week, we can hopefully, early in January, come up with this compiled list and maybe work these next couple weeks on drafting a note that we can send to these groups asking them for their input on this issue, on these issues. Does everyone think a week is good enough time just to identify the groups anyway?
Yep. That seems like enough.
Okay. So by the 23rd, we'll identify these groups. And then over the next couple weeks, I won't set a milestone date, but over the next couple weeks, we'll try to also come up with draft language that we can send to these groups to solicit their opinion on each of these issues, on mostly number one, I think, milestone one, which is the needs and justifications for this information. I think the groups for two and three, for issues two and three, milestones two and three, are going to be different than these, although if they're free to weigh in on those issues if they want.
I would just like to add a comment here about when we're discussing justifications.
Right.
I think everybody should keep in mind, as part of their justification statement, the concept of, is it absolutely necessary that this information be obtained via WHOIS, i.e., could it be obtained in a better way, a more socially responsible way, for example, through some other mechanism? What is it that specifically justifies using WHOIS for this function? I mean, it's great to have, everybody would like to have free information, and WHOIS is currently basically free information. But the fact that they feel like they need it, and there's a justification for that need in some sense, that justification should include, why does it have to be via WHOIS?
Right.
Couldn't that possibly have a chilling effect on the submissions that we receive?
Yeah, I would.
It's supposed to. The point is, we're not debating how you need information. What we're debating is, what is your justification for using WHOIS, for getting this information via public and anonymous WHOIS?
I think.
Yeah, and if the justification is simply because it's the easiest way to do that, I think it's valuable to know that.
Yeah, I think when we draft this note to go out to the groups, I think these thoughts need to be represented in there. You know, and we can do it in an objective way to basically say, you know, what do you use WHOIS for? Why is WHOIS the source that you use? Are there any other alternative sources you can get the same information? If so, how difficult would it be to use those sources? In terms of resources or costs or however they interpret that question. I don't want to interpret these questions for them in any kind of way. But I think another point that we need to talk about is, which is implicit, is whether it can be obtained through just the normal web-based WHOIS, or whether they need the port 43. Because I think that's essentially really what we're looking at, is to prevent data mining. I think that is an important issue for us to ask them. You know, whether they use port 43, and if they do, you know, whether they can get the same information from WHOIS and what the impact of that would be.
I think that's a good question, but I think some of them don't know whether they're using port 43 or what. But I think it's a good question.
Can I get a comment?
We can't hear you.
Yeah, before you speak on this, Marilyn, I do have to say, as the task force chair, that there's only supposed to be one person talking from each constituency. Are you here as representing the past to a task force, or are you here as part of a business constituency?
Yes.
This is David. On that point, this is David Ferris.
Yes.
At that point, I thought the decision was that we could hear from everyone on the call, but that if a decision needed to be made, the decision would be made by the official representative for the particular constituency.
I think what we came out with on the last call, and what the council has since passed notes to all of us on, was that there's one representative, that anyone can contribute to the mailing list, but that on a call, it's only one person from each constituency.
Yes.
If Marilyn's a rep from the WHOIS task, the other WHOIS task forces, then she can speak.
Let me ask my question, and then I'll go back and clarify what my standing is, because I'm not speaking on behalf of the BC here. The question I was going to ask, Jeff, is just a question that you guys originally, when from the previous WHOIS task force, the intent was to pass on the question of whether there should be any marketing uses. I just wanted to ask a clarifying question about the terms of reference of this task force. If it was clear that this task force was going to address that question from the terms
of reference. and I'll give my opinion, and anyone feel free to jump in. I think what was basically what we have is a narrow issue of non-marketing uses, and really I think we weren't supposed to address any kind of marketing uses. It just the terms of reference were really narrow on this point.
Jeff, I have a question related to that.
Sure.
In task one, collect these stated needs and justification, what you said earlier just indicated to me that what we really are talking about are the needs and justifications for port 43 or other kinds of bulk uses of contact information, or is it any use of contact information? It seems that this task force, we'd really just want to know about how people are using port 43. We're not interested, let me put it this way, we're not interested in how they use ordinary web interface one-by-one kind of contact information, right? We're just interested in the port 43 and the bulk.
I think to look at port 43 and the others, you have to look at how they use the web. In other words, if the group, I'll just speak off the top of my head, if the group were to conclude, or all the justifications seem to point out that they can get all this information from non-port 43 mechanisms, i.e. just the web, then it may help us to review the impact of shutting down port 43, because there may not be as much of an impact. So I think in that respect, we need to know how they access it, and ultimately, you're right, as to what happens if we put limits on bulk or port 43.
Yeah, this is John Wolf from BSI. I think we should use common terminology here. When we talk about port 43, and we refer then to these web-based, publicly available sites where you can do a search, they're using port 43 as well. It's just, my thought is that when you're talking about bulk access, you're talking about people that are coming in with their own proprietary mechanisms to hit port 43, whereas the Geek Tools and the Sam Spades, all those websites, they're doing their search via port 43 as well, but it's somebody, doing a one-off search through their site, as opposed to bulk searching.
Yeah, right, and I think that's the groups we want to reach out to, is not necessarily the individuals that use these services, not necessarily the individual that uses Thompson & Thompson or uses, as you said, Sam Spade, but want to hear from the companies like Sam Spade and Thompson & Thompson on how they get the Whois data that they offer. That's, I think, the difference. We've heard enough about why individuals need the information. Now we want to know why these companies, ultimately, to figure out if they rely on port 43, and if they do, how will it impact them if there are limits put on port 43 access?
I think it also we should find out if they in turn offer some kind of port 43 themselves, like if Geek Tools had its own port 43 that people could mine, or do they have to go to Geek Tools' website to look up the information?
Yeah, I think that's a good question.
I don't understand that question.
Well, ultimately, what Paul, if I can interpret that, what Paul's saying is if these groups, like let's say Sam Spade or Geek Tools, do they offer their own port 43 to individual users, or do they have some mechanisms on their own part to prevent mining of the data that they have?
I'm sorry, I still don't understand the question, because all they are is a front end to port 43. They have no Whois data to offer via port 43.
Correct, but they could offer the data via port 43 so that they could be, for example, they could be used as a proxy to get the data from other registrars. I could go to Network Solutions Whois, and not only get network, they access their own Whois information via port 43, but they also access everybody else's Whois information via port 43. So I believe, at least this is how it was in the past, that if I go to NSI's port 43, I can get all the other registrars Whois, not just NSI's.
So I think that's a good question for in the notice that we sent out to them as well. So I know Glenn's trying to capture all this, or she will in the minutes. So I think what that note that we send out to these groups is going to be crucial, and I'd like to get out a note to the group by or to these groups that we identify. Let's see, and I want to have these groups have at least 2 weeks to respond. So if we could get out a if we can get out a note to these groups by, let's say, January. Let me look at the calendar here. Calendar. Let's see. Would it be too hard to try to get a note out to these groups by January 7th? And we could be working on the text throughout these couple weeks, even through the hall, you know, but I know people are going to be away. But if we can work on this note and get it out by the 7th and then give them till the 21st.
When will we have a draft?
What's that?
When will we have a draft of
the note? That's okay. I want to try to work backwards. I want to send a final note by the 7th, and then hopefully a draft by Christmas is in there, and maybe by the 30th to have a first draft.
My problem is that I might be out of email contact. I'm going to be in a develop. I just don't know if I'm going to have email contact.
Okay, when do you think you'll be in town?
I'm going to be gone from the 26th through, and I'll be back in my office on the 6th.
Back on the 6th. All right. Well, if we had a first draft out by the 7th, then. Or, well, you'll be back the 6th. So if you had a first draft by the 5th and then a final draft out by the 12th of January, how does that sound?
That would work for me. I'm sorry to hold it up, but I'm just concerned about travel schedules for everybody.
How about everybody else?
That's fine.
Fine.
Okay, so a first draft by the 5th and then require responses back by 2 weeks from then, which is the 19th. That'll give us, we'll probably have a call on the 20th, so we'll at least have had a night to look at some of these responses. And then, okay, so that's for that point. What else do we have? Let me go back to the terms of reference here. And the second question is a little bit more narrow, which is to review the approaches that are out there to prevent automatic electronic data mining. And Paul, I know that there's some registrars that have mechanisms, at least on the website. Would you be able to help gather the information or any information from registrars as to what they can do to prevent automated electronic data mining?
I can do that.
Is there any other groups or people that we think we could contact for this question? I could talk to the registries, obviously, and see what...
I did see a... I don't know if this is... It's kind of relevant, I think, but there was a recent Scientific American magazine came out with an article on preventing data mining on the web.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely relevant. So, if you could forward that around as well.
I think we should put that question to these third-party websites that offer WHOIS searches.
Yes, I think we should.
What do they do, if anything, to prevent somebody using their site?
That's a great question.
Okay. I think that's good as well. So that'll be in the draft as well. And then, but is there anyone outside of those groups that we're going to brainstorm for using it, the WHOIS, that we should contact? And I know, you know, maybe we could talk to, or Paul, you could talk to Rick Weston. I don't know if all of his solutions are technical and IETF related, because what we're not, here's what it says is out of scope, and I'll let you guys help me interpret this. But it says what's out of scope is, The task force should not aim to specify a technical solution. This is the role of registries and registrars in a competitive market, and the role of technical standardization bodies such as the IETF. Note the IETF has a working group called CRISP that's developing a protocol that may be able to help. I'm paraphrasing here. However, the task force should seek to achieve an understanding of the various technological means that could be applied. Okay, so yeah, so we should, you know, I know Rick Wesson is a person that's talked about different ways to prevent it.
Does that mean we get a list, but we don't need to decide which one is best?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way I interpret it. We should get a list of them and their pros and cons of each of the solutions. You know, for example, do certain ways to prevent data mining, does that actually also prevent legitimate users? Or, you know, so we need to get pros and cons of each mechanism. So I think, Paul, you're probably the best person to help us on that.
Okay.
And the registrar community. And by the way, if anybody else, you know, also by the 23rd, if you could think of any groups, other groups that would fall into that category, please send them to the list. I'll go back to the registries as well, and David Maher will go back to the registries and try to see what we can get.
Okay.
And I think let's see what list we get from it, but if the list turns out to be just the same, I'd like that note to go out the 5th as well. The first draft on the 5th to go out the 12th, the final, and to get final input. I think I might have said the 19th last time. It should be 2 weeks after the 12th. So the 26th, if I can do math right here. So, Glenn, you got that? I might have confused the last one. It's a first draft of the note to go out the 5th with a final draft to go out the, or a final note to go out the 12th.
Rough draft on the
5th, right.
Yes.
A final note sent out on the 12th.
A final note on the 12th, and the response is back by the?
2 weeks after that,
26th.
Yep.
All right.
And I think I want to set the same timeline for this as well. Because I have a feeling that whoever said it before was probably right, that these are probably the same groups. There may be some additional ones like Rick Weston. We'll have to figure out who else from the registrars would know if there are other companies.
It kind of makes sense because it would be the same group, because not only do the registrars try to prevent mining, but, for example, you know, the registries do too. Some of the FAT registries have, you know,
right.
Who is. And then the people who, for example, I know Name Intelligence or whatever, or Geek Tools, they have ways to prevent their systems from being pounded as well. So it seems like it's not just the registrar that prevent this, you know, have methods to prevent the mining. A lot of other entities would too.
I think that's right. So let's aim then for the same dates for that. Then the notice will go either be included in a lot of these for the same groups will be included in that original notice, that rough draft, the 5th and final, the 12th. But also, if there are additional groups that don't fall into both categories, then that note as well, first draft on the 5th and final out the 12th with the response back by the 26th. And I think the third one I would like to pass on to ICANN, really. Or it really needs to wait till we have a lot of the data back. We can't really do 3 without having the data back. So, and I think that question is going to be mostly from ICANN and the registries and registrars. So if we have final thoughts back from these groups by the 26th, if we give 2 weeks from that point for ICANN, the registries and registrars to figure out what changes would be needed to the contracts, that brings us to February 9th. So why don't we put that down as a deliverable date for number 3. And that would give us from the 9th until the end of February. I think next year is a leap year, so the 28th. That'll give us over to the 1st to come out with the final, or the preliminary report.
It's a little bit confusing to me, Jeff, because it says review the general approaches. I would assume that all those general approaches would fall. None of them would be against the contracts. So therefore, if we reviewed those, how can any of them require a change in the contracts? You'd have to go outside the box on thinking on that to see what other approaches might work that are actually out there now to see which ones would need a change in the contracts.
Right. So that's why I was sending 2 weeks after the date that we get the answers back to number two to see if we can come up with something.
I see.
If there are any changes.
Okay.
So, you know, there may be some technology out there that would, or it may be the conclusion, you know, it may be that port 43 is blocked, you know, and then so how would we implement that in the contract? You know, so it depends what we get from the other groups. And then that'll give us, you know, from the 9th until the 1st to come out with a preliminary report. And then I believe it goes out for public comment, and then we'll have to take those comments in for a final report. Now, Glenn, do you know if the other groups had talked past the preliminary report, or they just set up the deliverable dates to the preliminary report?
They've mainly set up dates to the preliminary report.
Okay. So is everyone fine with those dates up to the preliminary report? And then I'll ask for help.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Hearing no dissenters in the group, we have a number of tasks. Now, some of it is just all of us going back on our own and trying to think of brainstorming these groups. But there's going to be a note that's going out there. And I was wondering if I could have some volunteers to help at least with that first draft of that note.
I'll volunteer if nobody else is.
That's Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Paul should probably have one or two other people helping out on that. Remember, this is the note that we want to make as objective as possible so that there's no subjective language in there basically giving any views on any of these possible approaches or any of the needs of justification. So it's really important on how this note is worded.
I'd like to help, but I'm available through the 20th, you know, through Christmas only.
Yeah, that might be...
Who was that?
This is David Ferris.
Okay, it's David. What about Wendy or Milton?
I'm sorry, what?
To help Paul and David draft this note, make sure it's objective and it doesn't have any... language in it that would kind of express a view one way or the other.
I was assuming the task force would, as a whole, would review it, but if he wants to involve me before that process, sure.
Yeah, I think what the goal is for you guys to get a preliminary draft out by the, you know, at least by the 5th, and then we would provide our comments and get a final draft out by the 12th of January.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, okay, we got Paul, we got Milton, and we got David. Great. And do each of you have each other's email addresses? I know when they're posted to the list, they're blocked.
Yeah, but I think you could get to the website that lists our contacts. I can.
Okay. All right. So we have now...
who was on this list again, just so I know? It's myself, David.
David Ferris.
Milton.
Yeah.
That's the three of us.
Yes.
Okay.
And if
Barbara will be on that too, right? Wouldn't it be good to have the staff?
Yeah, she can't. That's fine. Let's see if she's got. I mean, Barbara will certainly review it when we all do. But
well, whatever. I just thought it would be good for them to be in the loop in case they get any questions.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I think she should definitely be included on. It'd be fine to include her on your emails that go back and forth.
Okay.
So going back to the deliverables, that's a note that we're all going to brainstorm for next week to get out the list of identify the groups. We're all also going to get by the 23rd workshop materials. I need some. I think what the next thing is, we should set up another subgroup to look at some of the workshop materials and to kind of boil them down and to help us start drafting that needs justifications chart. Even though we won't have the thought, the opinions back yet from these other groups that we're going to solicit, I think we might want to get a little head start on that. So if I can have some volunteers to help, basically the what this group is going to do is, after Barbara forwards all the workshop information and some people have already volunteered to send some articles around, I need some people to help start this chart of needs and justifications. So looking at the list of people we have on this, we have Wendy, we have David Maher, we have the ISP representative who isn't on this list, and we have John.
Okay.
I'll jump in. John.
That was John?
Yeah.
So actually, this is going to be a big task, so why don't I set the four of you guys on that little subgroup, and so you guys can help develop the chart, analyze the existing materials, and then we'll have a really good head start for when we get all the other materials in from these other groups that we get information from.
Okay. And I'm volunteering Jeremy Banks, too, not on the call.
Okay.
He's the primary on this. I'm the alternate, so he'll be involved as well.
Okay. So I think those are the two basic subgroups at this point. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Sorry, who else is on that group too? John Wolf, Jeremy Banks?
David Maher and Wendy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think that covers everyone on the task force. And I will help out as you guys need me. If you need help, just let me know. Either group.
This information you said is going to be sent out.
Yeah, we set a date for the 23rd for this information to be sent out. And I think, you know, you guys are going to have a lot of time to do this chart, because we're not going to get responses back till the 26th of January from these other groups that we send this note out to. But it would be great if you could, by the time we send out, by the 12th, if we could have a good chart already at least started, so we can, it may help us frame the questions that we ask in this note out to these other groups. So,
and vice versa, too. The questions could help figure out what the chart column headings would be.
Exactly. So so maybe if we set the 5th, if we can get some thoughts at the meeting, since our plan is to meet every Tuesday at this time, unless Tuesday falls on a holiday, we'll have a meeting on, let me go back to my calendar here, we'll have a meeting on the 6th. So if those people that are in that subgroup can, by the 6th, come back with, at least by the 6th, maybe even next week or the week after, to come, well, actually next week is when it's due, so maybe the 30th, although that's right before New Year's, but certainly by the 6th, if you guys could at least have brainstormed by then or have started these charts to figure out what's going to be in them, to come back with feedback to the group that drafted the preliminary note, which is due the 5th. Yeah, that's a lot of deliverables. Glenn, you got all that?
I don't know what it is. I'll ask you to take it back.
I think I can do it off the top of my head here. The 23rd, we have a deliverable for Barbara to get us the workshop material,
yes,
and also for each member of the task force to brainstorm and come up with groups, non-marketing groups. Then on the next deliverable date is the 5th, which will be a preliminary note that's sent around by Paul Staharas and David Ferris and Milton. Also then, the other people on the task force by the 6th will come back. Their job is to basically take the information that we get on the 23rd from all the ICANN workshops, come back with a first draft of a chart that would have the needs and the justification for those needs, at least from the materials we have up until that point, to come back and by the 6th be able to talk about that in our meeting. Then the 12th is, January 12th is the date that we intend to get out the final note to all of these groups that people identified. And on the 26th is a date which we expect that we get responses back from each of those groups that we sent out the note to. And then we set a date of February 9th for, and we can talk about how we're going to break this down at the next meeting or meeting after, but basically February 9th to come back with general approaches of, I'm sorry, wait, now I'm getting myself confused. February 9th was the date that we had hoped to get from ICANN and the registries and registrars, how we would implement any of the feedback that we've, any of the mechanisms in the contract. So did that just confuse you more, or is that helpful? All right, I will assume, since there's no talking, that everyone knows exactly what's going on and everybody's prepared. Guys, feel free to use the list if you have any questions. There haven't been many posts lately, but feel free to use the list, and we'll try to summarize everything that's... What I want to do, too, is if those subgroups can get together and just kind of between the three or four of you, just pick someone to take to be the lead of that little subgroup and get that back to us, that would be great. And I see the only function of that... The leader of that group is to just help coordinate those subgroups and basically be the person that we ask to give a report to at the weekly meeting. I will try placing a call to Barbara later on today to just give her what we came up with as far as her deliverable dates. And does anybody have any questions? Okay, hearing none, anybody have any other issues that we didn't address?
Sorry, Jeff, the next meeting is then the 23rd.
The next meeting is the 23rd.
And after that?
After that, let's talk about next week. Let's talk next week to see what people's availability is for the 30th. I have a feeling we'll probably end up canceling that 30th meeting. Let's talk next week as to availability. And
okay.
certainly a meeting on the 6th of January.
Okay.
And is this time work for everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so then we should just plan on this time as well. It should work for the people out on the West Coast, too. Well, Paul's on the West Coast, yeah, so it's
yep.
8 a.m., but... okay, so then why don't we just adjourn this meeting and... you know, just remember to get your brainstorm lists out by next week.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.